Welcome this morning at Altona Baptist Church. It's been a hard night, I guess. The weather has not helped. Many have been held awake, so I'll try to be brief. Also, as we have prayed for Josh, Barbie, and the kids, if you're visiting us as well, please talk to us using some of the deacons. Stanley is a deacon. I am a deacon, and you have seen two more. There's some more, but either they're on holidays or they come on hiring. I don't know. It's too hot. Nah, they're on holidays. So yes, please talk to us. We are glad to see new faces, and we are also glad to see old faces. Amen. Some of the faces here, they've been here longer than I have lived. So we are glad that you are still here. And this psalm talks about that, how God is dealing with us. So if you can open your Bibles, and your pew Bible is in page 511, because I'm going to teach you certain things just to for introduction to the psalm. I don't know how much you are into psalms, how much you like to read them. My mom, when she was young, my mom would like to think she's still young. a lot of you got to know my mom when she came here. My mom doesn't mind if I say her age. I'm 50 years old. I'm 50 years old. My mom is 17 years older than me, so I already told you how old my mom is. So my mom is 67. But one of the things, see, I didn't record this part. I don't want her to hear. But my mom used to tell me all the time, read the Psalms, learn the Psalms by heart. Psalm 91 was very special. Living in a country during wartime, you have to pray for the Lord to keep you safe all the time, for the bullets not to reach you. But the book of Psalms is important because these are the prayers of the people of God. These are the ones that we turn to when we feel sad, when we want to express to the Lord how we are feeling, sadness, and also when we're feeling happy. Psalm 133 comes to mind, that all the brothers shall come together and praise you. Or Psalm 117 also comes to mind, that all nations should give praise to the Lord. For Jesus, although Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, mainly from the book of Deuteronomy, which is the last book of the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. But the passage that is most quoted in the New Testament is one passage in the book of Psalms. And that is, now I forgot. Sit at my right hand is one of those. That's Psalm 2. That's one of them too. Let's go to Psalm 2. Psalm 2 says this. So Jesus used the Psalms to justify what he's doing. I will proclaim a decree of the Lord, Psalm 2, verse 7. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery." So Jesus took many of his views or many of his directions from the book of Psalms. And he knows, who can remember, sit under and I will make your enemies your footstool. Who can remember that psalm? Either has some one, huh? Yes, it's one of them, but that is 100 and something that I forget. Hopefully you get it. You can tell me later. So Psalm 90 is quoted in the New Testament twice. So it also comes into our mind. It also comes into the Christian thinking. But let me tell you one thing. If you're looking at the Psalm 90, you look on top of it, what do you read on top of it? There's the Psalm 90 And on top of the what's there? Who can read it for me? What's on top of Psalm 90? Book 4. Because the book of Psalms is divided into 5 books. Just like the law of Moses. How many books are in the law of Moses? 5. Yes. So there's book 1 from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41. Book 2 from Psalm 42 to 72. Book 3 from Psalm 73 to 89. And now this is the first Psalm of book 4. And there's a book 5 too, 107 to 150, which are mainly praises. And if you read the paper that I put out, you're going to read that this is the first Psalm of book 4, which people think that was put together, this book was put together after the exile. What happened? Israel was unfaithful. And what did the Lord do? He sent judgment through exile. So they went some time out of the land. They have to give the land a rest, because in the book of in the prophets it says that they never kept they never gave the land a rest. Remember, in the book of the law says that every 7 years you should give the 1 year of rest to the land. They never did it. They never did. So God was taking back all those years during the exile. It's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. You know that during, we think that the golden age of Israel, when the kings like King Saul, then King David, then King Solomon, they were keeping the law. But then you find out that at the time of Josiah, almost at the end, because Israel was overtaken in 586 before Christ, but almost at the end, like 2 kings before the end, what happened? They had never kept Passover. Since they came out of Egypt, they had never kept Passover. And we think that they were very faithful, that they were keeping the law. And then suddenly, what does Josiah do? He rips his clothes and says, "Oh, we're in sin. There's all these curses are going to come because we haven't kept the law." So let's not idealize. I mean, there are good things in the times of the kings and prophets, but let's not idealize that they were like a law-keeping nation. So we come to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is being taught that after the exile, they put it together, because it's hard to make sense of it. But now, if you read this, it will make sense, I hope. So it starts. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And it starts saying this. Remember, these people are in exile. And it says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place, not the land, not Judea, not Palestine or Canaan, however you want to call it, not the land." They were not safe in the land. Because if you read your Old Testament, they were always being attacked by enemies. Philistines, Edomites, Assyrians, Babylonians, Egyptians. And I'm going like this because this is where they come from. This is from my point of view. That's where they're coming from. And even from within. No. You have been our dwelling place. Who? Not the land. Who? The Lord. And the Lord can be our dwelling place wherever you are. Whatever circumstances, the Lord is our dwelling place. He does not fail. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Throughout all generations. This is very important for me as a father. that my children, well, it comes from my mom. My mom prays that I will follow the Lord, and she prays that my children will follow the Lord. And I pray that my children will follow the Lord, and I pray that my grandchildren will follow the Lord through all generations. And if you have children, you pray for them as well, yes? Amen? For your grandchildren to follow the Lord, for your great-grandchildren to follow the Lord, generation after generation. That's why I enjoy when we have all the candidos here. There are three generations serving the Lord. And that's why I tell my wife when my son plays with me as well at the front, I get happy because two generations are serving the Lord. Tim's dad, he serves the Lord. He's your sister used to play the piano and play also over there, and your mom. So this is what the Lord does, because He is our dwelling place. It doesn't matter where you are. Oh, my time in Altona Baptist Church was the best. And God was there and God moved mightily. And then you go to another church. It doesn't feel like that. Well, who's your dwelling place? Altona Baptist Church or your previous church or the Lord? Who's your dwelling place? The Lord. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. Who's God from everlasting to everlasting? Who's God? The Lord. It doesn't matter how sick you are, how healthy you are, how rich you are, how good looking you are, how bad looking you are. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are dwelling in the Lord. And this is what makes Christians invincible. Because it doesn't matter what situation you're in. You know that you are standing upon the rock of ages. Amen. As a migrant, that was one thing that I used to always say when I was 17, 18. I used to preach that when I was that age. I said, because I already been a migrant before that. And I used to tell the people, oh, we miss El Salvador. We miss Chile. We miss Argentina. We miss Brazil. Eh? Yes. We miss England. And maybe in a couple of years, Josh will say, oh, I miss France. Viva la France. I miss Greece. I miss India. I miss Korea. I miss the Philippines. Well, where else? Where else? I'm just looking at you. I miss Taiwan. But who owns the whole earth, my brothers and sisters? The Lord. So there's no place where the Lord is not with you. Amen. That's the difference between our God and the other gods. The Canaanites, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, they have local gods. Oh, this is the God of Assyria. So if you want to worship, you will have to move there. Oh, this is the God of Babylon. So he only blesses Babylon. But our God is above all gods. Our God is the Lord of all the earth. Amen. So it doesn't matter where you go, how old you are, nothing matters. The Lord will always be with you. So verse 3, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. This is the great leveler. That's what it's called. We all going to go sometime. Some are blessed to take a long time. And let me tell you, maybe you have had this experience. Some people told me already, I want to die. There's nothing for me here now. I've done everything I want to, everything I can, because also when you're old and frail, your mobility becomes an issue. So there's not much you can do sometimes. But also, this weekend, or this week, I seen the news, a lot of young people dying. You never know when we're going to go. You never know. I remember I was very struck when I was 21 and I heard of this pastor that I used to admire the way he preached. And he died in an accident going to church. You never know when you're going to die. So we all turn to dust. 1,000 years in the sight, in your sight, are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. And this is what I said, that is going back to New Testament. This verse is quoted in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. So for the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. I hope he does that to me. Some of us are fortunate enough to go in our sleep. And then later on it says with a moan. They are like the new grass of the morning. Listen, they are like the new grass in the morning. Those of us here who are in years. Do you remember when you were young? Do you remember how agile you were, how strong you were? And you thought nothing could defeat you. You were not afraid of anything. Those who were into surfing, they could go into the water and they didn't care. Because they knew they could get out. Or running, or whatever you were doing. You were like new grass in the morning. And the new grass is nice, yeah? It's green, smells good. But then what happens? In the morning, it springs up new. But by evening, it is dry and wither. I do a lot of videos during the week explaining the Bible. And I was noticing something in me. I was noticing that my neck doesn't look like when I was young. That is starting to change. And I said, Lord, am I getting old? Imagine, I didn't care about this. I care about this thing because I said, oh, this is starting to look that I'm getting old. And then I look at my wife and I say, you're looking the same. We were once young and beautiful. Amen. Amen, Erica. Amen. I always tell her, you fell in love with me because you found me beautiful. She says, nah, I marry you for pity. No, but I know she loves me. Or else she wouldn't cook like she does. In heaven, I hope the Lord, I know that we're not going to be married, but in heaven, I hope the Lord will, Lord, can Erica still come and cook for me? And once, because we're talking about death and beyond, and once we're telling somebody, she was new at the church, she loved her husband, they were newly married, and when we read to her that, no, in heaven, we will not be married, she started crying. She loved Luis, the same like me. She loved him so much that she started crying. So we, when we were young, we were all beautiful. But we start withering, drying. And we have to come to terms to that. We have to come to terms that this will happen to all of us. And the younger we get, we get to know this, the better for us. And why am I saying that? I'd like you to come with me to chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Maybe you remember that, what it talks about. But this is very important for young people. very important for young people. Chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes is found in page 700. I'm not talking about this other Bible. Yes? 578, yes. 578. He says this. And this was quoted to me many, many, many times when I was young, when I was 15. So maybe you remember. It says, I was reading 11, sheep your grain across the sea. Well, not yet. 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's clear enough. Yeah. But I got confused reading afterwards. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Hopefully that's not our case. But in many people's lives, they find no pleasure in their days of youth because of what's going to happen. During your youth years, you think you're having fun. One of the trends that I see on Facebook and YouTube and all of those is that people are always with a glass of something, yeah? Always. Partying all the time. But have they thought what all the partying is going to do to their bodies? All the drinking will do to their bodies? All those drugs will do to their bodies in the long term? Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. When you get older, you start having issues with your sight, yes? And the clouds return after the rain. Some people think that's cataracts. You get these cataracts, these things, these clouds inside your eyes. I'm just trying to explain a little bit. When the keepers of the house tremble and the men stoop. Remember when you can do this, when you can. But it will be a time when even doing this will be hard. It hurts right now because I have those things. It hurts. We make fun of some more people that go like that, but that's the way it goes. The Bible says it's going to happen. Nothing to make fun of. We're all going to be there. When the grinders... I didn't understand anything when I read this. When the grinders cease because they are few. Yeah, they start falling off. My gums are receding. Thank God I'm 50, I still have all my tooth. But they already told me, you're going to start losing some tooth sometime in the future because the gums recede when you get old. And those looking through the windows grow dim. That's what happens. When the doors to the streets are closed, you cannot get out because you're sick. And the sound of grinding fades. I remember my wife's grandma, we used to play a game, and she couldn't hear what we were saying. And at the end, the last days, we have to scream at, listen! Not everybody suffers the same. When people rise up the sound of birds, so they're afraid. What's going on? But all their song grow faint. When people are afraid of heights, and this is already for me. I'm afraid of heights already. And when the first time I was afraid of heights, I remember this verse. Oh man, I'm getting to this stage. And of dangers in the street. And of dangers in the street. Wonder why parents tell their children, don't go out, too late, something's going to happen, because we know the dangers that can be outside. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, as you see old people sometimes, they have to, and desire no longer stirred. I leave that to you. And desire no longer stirred. Then people go to the eternal home. And mourners go about the streets. You have to remember, we have to remember the Lord from our youth. Remember him before the silver cord is severed. And this is a Greek thing, the silver cord. Remember, Chris? If you've seen Hercules, the movie, remember when Meg, it's in hell. And when Hercules is dying and they want to cut the cord and they can't because it's like you cannot cut it. That's what he's talking about here. And the golden bow is broken before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well. Have you thought about your youth lately, brothers and sisters, what you did and what you didn't do? If you live for the Lord or you live for yourself? We are consumed by your anger. And now he comes back to the exile. Now he comes back to the Thebaic exile. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you. And listen to this. Our secret sins in the light of your presence. Secret sins. Sins that you had never told, not even your wife or your husband or your mom or your dad. No one knows about this sin. No one knows. And I'm going to look this way because we all have it. We all have them. We all have sins that we're so ashamed that we don't tell anybody. But I bring you good news. Put them at the feet of Jesus. Receive his forgiveness. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful to forgive us. Unless, but a lot of people, but Lewis, I tried to do it. Many times I do it. And I was telling my wife this. There's some things that I pray and Lord, forgive me again and again and again and again. And I always go back to the same. When I was a little boy, I once pushed somebody off a cliff. And I don't know why I did it. I was like 5 or 6. And I always asked the Lord. I mean, he survived. But I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I did it. And I always feel guilty about it. I always feel guilty about it. Another thing that I did was that it was a big fire and like 12 houses. They thought they were going to be lost. Thankfully, everybody got out with their hoses, and then the firemen came. And when I was like 35, I said to my mom, "Mom, you remember that big fire? Yeah, we almost lost the house. It was me." But see, those are the sins that I receive forgiveness, and I feel like I'm forgiven. But what about those sins that we may have, you may have, that you don't feel that you're forgiven, that you have asked the Lord, "Lord, please forgive me," yet you keep on asking him forgiveness? You know the devil uses that against you. Always. He slips guilt into you. And he wants you to doubt that the cross is enough. Because the cross is enough. Amen? That's where our sins were forgiven. So I want to encourage you that even though God knows your secret sins, but he also calls you to repentance and ask forgiveness and live accordingly. Live accordingly as a forgiven son of God or daughter of God. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. There's no way we can get out of it. Just like that, God knows everything. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish over years, our years with a moan. You've seen that sometime. People, that's the last thing they do. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. I like how the Spanish one says, those of us who are strong get to 80. That's what he means. In Spanish, that's what he says. Those of us who are strong get to 80. I don't want to ask people's age here, but if you have your 70, your 80s, you are heroes. You're strong. You're strong. That's what the Bible says. You're strong. Oh, Louis, but my body. Yeah, but you're strong in the Lord. Amen. You're here. You're strong in the Lord. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. Yeah, life is mostly trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass and we fly away. We fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. And not fear like, no, fear, reverence. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And how shall the young man or young person keep their way clean? By keeping whose word? The word of God. Which is sometimes is difficult because it's either my sinful nature or I give in to that or I give in to the Lord. There are only two paths. Teach us to number our days. Yes, I want to encourage you all young people, including my children, if you have older children, those who are about to be married, to also take care of that, to number, to enjoy your time. When you get to a new stage of life, when you get married, the first years, enjoy them. Get to know each other. And when you are older, enjoy as well. I enjoyed my day yesterday. All my kids left and it was only me and my wife. So I'm trying to enjoy this stage of life. I remember when I was at church Monday to Sunday. Yes, I was at church Monday to Sunday. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have kids. I didn't have anything. All I had to do, go to school. And then in the afternoon, go to church. I used to play every day. I used to sing every day. I used to preach like 3 times a month. It was a good time. I remember that. Let's remember the days where the Lord was with us. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. The last part. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Remember, what's happening here? Remember what I told you? What are they? They're in exile. They're in exile. So remember, Lord, remember. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Are you happy every day? Some of us are not happy. Sometimes some very bad things happen to us during the week. Very bad things. But we come to church and we want to hear that even on the worst day of our life, Jesus is with us. Jesus is suffering with you. Jesus is hurting with you. Jesus knows our pain. Jesus knows our sorrow. Jesus knows our affliction. It doesn't fix anything immediately. It doesn't fix it. But how many of us are encouraged when we're going to trouble and somebody comes out of nowhere and says and puts his hands on our shoulder, hey, I'm with you. Ask me. I can help you in whatever I can. And we have the maker of heaven and earth. Hey, I'm with you. You may not see it now, but I'm with you. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. Remember I told you, generations. I always tell my kids the things that the Lord has made in my life, how he brought me here, how somebody told me, you're going away, you're not paying a cent. Said, maybe, hopefully, and it happened. And how things happen. When I pray, the Lord answers. I always tell them that, because they have to know that the Lord is real, that the Lord is alive, that the Lord hears our prayers. Amen. So I encourage you, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, to tell your kids, the Lord has done great things for us, and that's why we are committed to the Lord, because if it weren't for the Lord, you wouldn't be here. If the Lord would have made the miracle of giving legal residency to an illegal alien living in the USA, coming here without paying a cent, my family wouldn't exist. So who created my family? I get the blame, yeah? But who really created my family? The Lord God. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to the children. May the favor of the Lord rest on us. Altona Baptist Church, may the favor of the Lord rest upon us. Establish the works of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Brothers and sisters, this is the beginning of the year. The best way to start the year is to have communion. Amen. To remind ourselves what the Lord did 2023. I'm sure that the Lord did great things in your lives. And let us trust the Lord that he will keep on doing it, because he is faithful. He is faithful. Remember, he is our dwelling place. It doesn't matter if you change jobs. It doesn't matter if you finish uni. It doesn't matter if your legal status is changing. And it doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, if we go to heaven this year, because the Lord is our dwelling place. We dwell in the Lord, and we are in his hands, and nobody can take us out of his hands. Amen? Amen. We are sure, we are secure. And when bad things happen, always remember, Lord, you being faithful in the past, you're going to be faithful in the future. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks because you were faithful to give your life on our behalf for our sins, even for our secret sins. And that blood on that cross, shed on the cross, wash away my sins, wash away my guilt. Wash away anything that the devil may try to point against me, against my brothers and sisters here. Your word says, Lord, that every heavy burden we should put onto you, Lord. So this morning we put anything that may our conscience may be telling us that we're guilty, and we confess our sins, and you are faithful. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 and 2 says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us, Lord. So we confess any sin that we have done, that we're not proud, that we feel guilty, but we trust in your sacrifice, Lord, and we trust that you have paid the price, because you are our dwelling place. Because it doesn't matter how bad we have been against you, against my neighbor. If we ask forgiveness, you give us your spirit, and you transform us to be like your son. So this morning, Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters will look at this year with good confidence that just like you pull us through last year, you're going to pull us through this other year until we come to your presence and you are going to give us the reward that you have kept in heaven for us. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.